It's great to have you here with me today, and you are a part of a community of listeners tuning in each weekday or joining us via the podcast, which can be downloaded free from the WEZE website. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcasts. That's 590amtheword.com. I do also post to Facebook and Twitter. That's God Is WEZE. God Is WEZE on both Facebook and Twitter. So if you use these apps or access them on your computer, then you can follow God Is right there, and you can tell your friends and family about it as well. God Is WEZE. Now today we're going to pivot slightly from the introductory section of Romans chapter 1 down to the core of the message that I want to communicate clearly to you. The question before us is this: how does God make us holy? We know that God is holy, and we know that the only way we can live in right relationship to holy God is if we ourselves are made holy. God cannot be in any way associated with sin, and all of us, myself included, are sinners. We are born sinners, and we continue to develop and hone our sin skills all throughout our lives, sadly. But as we have learned here on God Is, God takes the initiative to do something about our sin and to deliver us from it. He sends His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live a life we can never live, to die a gruesome death for our sins, so that we who believe no longer have to die for sin, and to come back from the dead so that we who believe will also rise again from the grave. But we are pushing further to understand how we can grow now in our holiness as we follow Christ Jesus. And the answer can be given in one word: gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L, gospel. But what is that? Turn with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 15. Or you can read this on your own later. Paul is the author, and he's writing this to Christians in Rome. Over the last 2 weeks, we have discussed who Paul is and who these Roman Christians are, and now Paul, who has not visited them in person in Rome, tells them about his heart's desire in verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. What does Paul most want to do? He's eager to do what? Preach to them the gospel. And there's our key word. This eagerness that Paul expresses does not surprise anyone who reads the Apostle Paul. When you read the New Testament, you will quickly realize that he's written nearly half of it. That's right. And if he authored other books whose author remains anonymous to us, then he wrote more than we can even attribute to him. What we do know is that he's the writer of 13 New Testament books out of 27. 13 out of 27 gives us a percentage of 48%. And the theme for Paul is the gospel. This is what he preached everywhere he went, every day, every week, every month, and every year for the rest of his life after the Lord Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 9. Right now, the Apostle Paul even speaks the gospel to us from the grave. We have his writing, and his writing is drenched in the gospel. Let me speak to you Christians a moment. Is the gospel what you are eager to share with the people in your life? The Greek word here for eager means enthusiastically willing. And the spirit of it is free, ready to go, not weighed down. Could it be said of people you know and people that know me that we have one message and that the continual theme every time they speak to us is of the gospel? Would your children and grandchildren kind of roll their eyes? Here she goes again. Do your colleagues at the office snicker behind your back? I know. Does he have anything else he even thinks about or cares about? And let me ask my fellow preachers and pastors that might be tuning in. Is the recurring theme of your teaching and preaching this gospel? Do you keep coming back to it in one way or another, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? For the Apostle Paul, what he is about to launch into in the verses that follow is his message, the gospel of God. And I submit to you, dear Christian, that the gospel of God is to be our message as well. Day in and day out, to share this good news with, every single solitary soul we meet. Are you finding ways to share the gospel of God? Think about it. And I invite you to be convinced that this is to be your singular message. And now down to verse 16. I'm reading Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want to stop right there and point out the words, not ashamed. This is very important, and it relates well to what I have already said to you believers within the sound of my voice. What is the reason that we do not make the gospel the theme of our lives? Why is it that the gospel doesn't come pouring out of us every day that God gives us to live? I think Paul tells us what it is. Shame. We are ashamed of this gospel. This word here for ashamed in the original language of the New Testament, that is Greek, is very interesting. It means to be ashamed, but more than that, to be disgraced, to be personally humiliated, and to be like someone who is singled out because they believe in a lie. They support something that is actually not true. That's a pretty strong word, but it's very accurate. For those of you who do share the gospel, then you know. You really have experienced exactly this. In general, ungodly people do not want to hear the gospel, and they often turn antagonistic if you share it with them. They can humiliate you, single you out in a group as being nuts, crazy. Maybe their mentality is, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? And if you hold to the gospel, if you defend the truth of the gospel, then they ostracize you. They exclude you from the group, or even worse, from the family. Are you listening to me now and your family wants little to do with you because you believe and you share with them the gospel of God? I understand this. Too many times in my own life, I have shied away from sharing the gospel because I've been too worried about what other people will think of me. Or I've started out with someone to boldly tell them about the gospel. Now, not in an obnoxious way either, but when I have met with some resistance, I've pulled back. This is sin in my life, because when I am ashamed of the gospel, then I am ashamed of God, and I need to repent of this shame before my Lord. And if you think, well, you preachers never seem to have too much trouble talking about the gospel on the radio. Ah, but the challenge remains for us as it does for you. Sharing the gospel on the radio is one thing, but being faithful to share the gospel with close family members, friends, even out in public among strangers, that is more challenging, yes, even for your pastor. Why? Because we're human, and there's not a person who enjoys humiliation, at least not initially. However, what I have learned from the Apostle Paul is that the more we stick to the gospel and tell it to others, the less ashamed we become, because we grow in boldness and courage, and eventually we're enthusiastically willing. We're ready to go. And then nobody wants to sit next to us. And again, I'm not talking about being obnoxious, rude, and so invasive that we turn other people off to God. Do not harass people with the gospel. Be gracious. But the problem most Christians have is not that we are too invasive, too in a person's face with the gospel. Our problem is that we are ashamed of the gospel and never share it with anyone. We just carry on with this quiet, private faith. Christian friends, that is a sin, and I invite you to be convicted about the necessity of sharing the gospel during our series together. And why do I say this is a sin? Well, I'm actually not the one saying it. Rather, Jesus is. Listen now to the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. This is Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. For Jesus, when someone who claims to follow him is ashamed of him, it calls into question the genuineness and sincerity of their whole faith. Is a person that is ashamed of Jesus Christ, ashamed of God, even a true Christian? Jesus takes being ashamed of him that far. Well, then I certainly consider my sin in light of the words of Jesus. Whenever I am ashamed of the gospel, then I have sinned, and I need to repent of that sin. That is the point I am trying to make to you Christians listening today. Now, look back with me at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Having said all that I've just said, our mentor is a man who is not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is not ashamed, so we should look up to him and learn from him. Given that he is not ashamed, how can we be tutored by the Apostle Paul such that you and I will not be ashamed either? We live in a similar context to the one he lived in. Generally, people in New England today do not want to hear the gospel. The gospel is not popular. You run the serious risk of being humiliated and ostracized for what you believe. You're going to be told to just keep that to yourself. When you tell others about the gospel, they will reject you, make fun of you, and even tell you off. This is all very common. I have faced this, and this is genuinely painful. But, like Paul, we can be a people who are not ashamed of the gospel. We can be a channel through which God brings revival to New England. The Church of Jesus Christ in Boston and surrounding cities and towns is empowered by the Holy Spirit to get out this good news today. Who will you tell today? Do not be ashamed. No matter how people react, I invite you to tell them the truth. I'll leave this with you for now, but I'll be back here tomorrow. Please join me then for more of God Is.